from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast via shortwave on 95 to 5 kHz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying. Hello, listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with the news.
This is Ania Sana with the news. First, the headlines. Indonesian President Joko Widodo supports severe punishment for corruptors, drug agents, and terrorists. Minister Sri Mulyani Indrawati says productivity is a key to sustainable economic recovery. And now the news in detail. Indonesian President Joko Widodo ensured that the government keeps supporting the Supreme Court's move in realizing a clean, fair, and dignified justice. He also pointed out that three perpetrators who had to face severe punishment are corruptors, drug agents, and terrorists. This was affirmed by President Joko Widodo at a special plenary session at the annual report of the Supreme Court of 2017 at the Jakarta Convention Center Senayan in Jakarta on Friday. On the occasion, he also appreciated the performance of the Supreme Court, which continued to improve during 2017. The president advised that the Supreme Court continues to present a credible and trusted judiciary for better legal certainty in Indonesia. Insert the dubbing. The government continues to support the Supreme Court's steps in realizing a clean, fair, and dignified justice. It makes all parties disciplined in the judicial process. It also decides severe punishment and deterrent effect to the perpetrators of corruption, drug agents, terrorists, and anyone who destroys Indonesian unity and disrupts justice in our country. Furthermore, President Joko Widodo hopes that the prospective judges who will start working in the Supreme Court can maintain their integrity. He views that the judges with high integrity and profession will produce a fair trial verdict and win the trust of the people and the trust seekers from the international world. Indonesian Minister of Finance Sri Mulyani Indrawati said that the issue on human resources is the most important one, as it is highly relevant with the world's ongoing economic recovery that has not been accompanied by an increase in productivity. She said in Kuta Bali on Thursday, March the 1st, that investment in human capital needs to be supported in a bid to accelerate economic recovery. She also said that economic recovery cannot be sustained without productivity improvement, and productivity is an important issue to improve the global economy, making its recovery last. The minister made the statement during the international seminar on human capital as a new driving force of economy. The seminar is part of the Voyage to Indonesia program held to welcome the annual IMF World Bank meeting in Bali next October. The seminar's purpose is to formulate policy recommendations to solve problems in the field of human resources. Minister Sri Mulyani also pointed out that human capital can alleviate poverty and address economic gap around the globe. Indonesian President Joko Widodo appreciated the performance of the Supreme Court throughout 2017. The appreciation was presented during a special plenary session of the Supreme Court's Annual Report 2017 at Jakarta Convention Center on Friday, March the 2nd. He said that the speed of judiciary in deciding cases that are matched with the level of satisfaction is the reason why the appreciation should be given, especially in regard to innovation of electronic-based services. President Joko Widodo also said that the judiciary is the main foundation of developed countries. Thus, the president hopes the judiciary can be credible and it provides legal certainty.
Fondasi utama yang bisa mengantarkan kita sebagai negara maju
The main foundation that can lead us as a developed country is a truly credible legal system, and the process brings legal certainty and law enforcement that provides justice and a sense of community justice. Thus, I would like to express my gratitude and high appreciation for every effort of the Supreme Court to create a transparent, professional, and trusted judiciary. Meanwhile, Chief Justice of the Supreme Court Hatta Ali said that the Supreme Court keeps making changes to the body through various regulations and policies. It increased the institutional productivity by 92.23%. Indonesia is a country which is rich in abundant biomass resources, such as second-generation bioethanol production. Bioethanol is a renewable and environmentally friendly alternative fuel as a substitute for gasoline. This was stated by a researcher of Chemical Research Center at Indonesian Institute of Sciences LIPI, Hasnan Abimanyu, to media at LIPI Chemical Research Center in Tangerang, Banten on Thursday afternoon, March the 1st. Hasnan said that LIPI, or the Indonesian Institute of Sciences, has successfully developed bioethanol research and continues to do research as optimal as possible.
Kita sampai ketemu proses yang ekonomis. Energy, misalnya energi yang
we come to see an economical process of energy, such as energy which is used less. Then it is the total of raw material prices and so on. So the product will be lower than fossil fuels. Hasnan Abimanyu also explained that the tool used in bioethanol production is pilot plant bioethanol G2 and becomes the only tool available in Indonesia. The Indonesian Institute of Sciences, LIPI, has patents related to the second generation bioethanol product development as intellectual property rights and is continuously strived to be used by the industry. This news comes to you over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Former Indonesian Agriculture Minister for 2004-2009 period, Anton Apriantono, has announced the establishment of Indonesian Coffee Council or DECOPI at Intermark Serpong, Tangerang, Banten on Thursday, March the 1st. The council, along with the Nusantara Coffee Exhibition, will be inaugurated on March 11, 2018. The establishment of the Indonesian Coffee Council is expected to popularize coffee as Indonesia's flagship commodity and promote the Indonesian coffee industry and enhance the welfare of the community, especially farmers and related parties. We want to further echo the spirit to improve. First, the glory, and the second, the welfare. So we want this coffee to be one commodity that can improve the welfare of the business people, starting from the farmers or from the upstream and to the cultivators. So we want this coffee to have a lot of derivatives or product. Anton Apriantono further said that the council will also propose to the government to make March 11 as the National Coffee Day as mark of the rise of Indonesian coffee. The Nusantara Coffee Exhibition will last for 3 days from March 9 to 11, 2018 at Intermark Convention Hall Serpong, Tangerang, Banten. Minister of Technology, Research and Higher Education Muhammad Nasir stated that the University of Indonesia, UI, has set a target to rank among the top 200 campuses in the world in 2019. When delivering a speech on the campus laboratory grant offered by Honeywell, he noted in Depok, West Java on Thursday that his side wants to see University of Indonesia ranked among the top 200 universities in the world, Bandung Institute of Technology, ITB, to be among the top 250, and Gajah Mada University among the top 300 in the world in 2019. He also highlighted the importance of laboratory automation assistance for developing education in the country, especially in the face of the Industrial Revolution 4.0. Minister Nasir also encouraged universities to cooperate with their other counterparts in the world to improve the level and quality of research. The laboratory grant given by Honeywell uses the system and advanced system to control facilities at the Faculty of Engineering of the University of Indonesia's FTUI's buildings. And the last item, the Indonesian government is planning to inform Vietnam about a change in the vehicle type approval VTA certificate in a bid to reopen Indonesian automotive exports to Vietnam, Director General of International Trade at the Trade Ministry, Oke Nuan, said in a statement on Thursday that Indonesian automotive exports are expected to return to the country with the VTA adjustment. He said the government will convey the change in the VTA certificate to the Vietnamese government to get an immediate response. Hopefully, there will soon be automotive exports to Vietnam. New regulations issued by the Vietnamese government forced Indonesia to stop the export of completely built-up or CBU vehicles to Vietnam this month. The Indonesian vehicles did not meet requirements stipulated in a 2017 ministerial decree on manufacturing, assembly, and import of motor vehicles and motor vehicle warranty and maintenance services, and a 2018 circular on the inspection of imported automobiles for technical safety and environmental protection. And listener, to end the news, here are the headlines once again. Indonesian President Joko Widodo supports severe punishment for corruptors, drug agents, and terrorists. Indonesian Minister Sri Mulyani Indrawati says that productivity is a key to sustainable economic recovery. And listener, that was the news.
Commentary. Comments on actual national and international issues from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, nice to be with you again in our regular program. Commentary. The title of today's commentary is Supports to End Conflict in Afghanistan. The conflict in Afghanistan, which has been going on for about 4 decades, has to come an end. Recently, there has been a good intention from the governor of Afghanistan to end the conflict. The Afghan government is to open opportunity for Taliban that has always opposed Kabul government to participate in the administration. The conflict in Afghanistan began in 1979 when the Soviet Union established a puppet government in Kabul. When the Soviet Union invaded Afghanistan, there was no resistance from the Afghan government forces. Rejection came from the people, mainly Mujahideen. At the time, the United States, that did not want to see any communist forces in Afghanistan, immediately helped the resistance against the Soviet Union. Besides the Mujahideen, another group that helped support the Soviet Union was Taliban. The fight against the Soviet Union finally ended 10 years later. Fortunately, after the departure of Soviet Union, these two resistance groups began fighting for power. In 1996, the Pakistani-backed Taliban took office in Kabul, later under the pretext of chasing Osama bin Laden, who was accused of being the mastermind behind the September 11, 2001, W2C Twin Tower attack. The United States and Israelis joined the conflict. A new government under U.S. control was formed. Outside Kabul, emerging resistance groups rejected the presence of United States and Western allies. All of them use Taliban flags and they keep resisting until now. Efforts had been made to end the civil war in Afghanistan. Until today, there is no solution. A breakthrough is made by the Afghan President Ashraf Ghani by opening opportunity, but the Taliban side is ambivalent. The elite are only willing to negotiate with the USA, while other groups want to negotiate with Kabul government. The Taliban needs to solve this internal problem first before entering the peace process. Indonesia is seriously offering a peace solution to Afghanistan. This was conveyed when President Joko Widodo visited Kabul last January. Almost 1 month later, Vice President Yusuf Kalla was present at the peace process in Afghanistan. Indonesia is ready to mediate the conflict parties to meet in Indonesia. Indeed, Afghanistan's long-standing problem will not be solved within few days of talks. All conflicting parties must be patient if Afghanistan wants peace again. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Music. Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past, as recorded in history. We begin with an event which occurred on March 2, 1970, Rhodesia declares itself a republic. On March 2, 1970, Prime Minister Ian Smith severed Rhodesia's remaining ties with Britain in an attempt to protect white minority rule. It would be another 9 years before Smith would ascend to open elections, which would usher in black rule and the renaming of the country to Zimbabwe, after the British gave Zambia and Malawi their independence in the 1960s, Rhodesia sought its own formal recognition of independence. However, the British would not recognize the Republic without a constitutional amendment that would shift power to African majority. The Conservative Rhodesian Front Party, led by Prime Minister Ian Smith, sought to maintain white rule over the country. Smith refused to back down, and in March 1970, he declared Rhodesia to be a republic, introducing a new constitution and disbanding the parliament. In doing so, he broke all ties with Britain. The declaration was met with unanimous non-recognition worldwide, and countries began to shut down their consulates. The next event is that Concorde was operated on the 2nd of March 1969 for the first time. Concorde is a British-French turbojet-powered supersonic passenger jet and liner which was created in 1950s and is a corporation product of the United Kingdom and France. Concorde was operated for the first time on the 2nd of March 1969. Because of operational costs, which was expensive and several times fatal accident, since 2003, Concorde did not fly again. Then, Air France and British Airways did not operate Concorde again. And the last event was in 1959, when the use of name of Bandung Institute of Technology was officially inaugurated. Bandung Institute of Technology (ITB) is a state co-educational research located in Bandung, West Java, Indonesia. Previously, the institute was technical high school which has established since the Dutch East Indies era with the name of Technische Hogeschool Te Bandung, which was officially inaugurated on July 3, 1920. After the independence war, since the 2nd of February 1950, Technical High School was part of the University of Indonesia to become Faculty of Engineering and the Faculty of Exact and Natural Sciences. This faculty separated from the University of Indonesia on the 2nd of March 1959. The government of Indonesia officially inaugurated the establishment of Bandung Institute of Technology (ITB) based on the government's rules number 6, 1959. As of early 2016, ITB had 9 undergraduate study programs which have been internationally accredited from an independent US-based accrediting institution, Accreditation Board for Engineering and Technology, where ITB and IPB or Bogor Agricultural University are the only public universities in Indonesia with this particular international accrediting institution. Listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Indonesia in Economy, International Politics, Sports, Environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
Listener, welcome to the VOI's regular My Indonesia. Today's topic is about Indonesia is ready to propose biodiesel lawsuit to the World Trade Organization, WTO. The Indonesian government is ready to file a lawsuit to the Dispute Settlement Agency of the World Trade Organization, DSBWTO. The lawsuit is related to the United States Department of Commerce, U.S. DOC, movement, which publishes final determinations of an anti-dumping investigation of biodiesel products. Indonesian Trade Minister Enggar Tias Tolu Kita sat in Cirebon, West Java, on Wednesday, February 27, that the Indonesian government will make effort to counter allegations that are considered contrary to the World Trade Organization WTO anti-dumping provisions. On February 21, 2018, the U.S. DOC, the institution that determines the calculation of dumping scale, published the final determination of anti-dumping investigations for biodiesel products from Indonesia and Argentina. Indonesia is the world's largest producer of palm oil, while Argentina is one of the largest exporters of soy products in the world. The amount of dumping from Indonesian biodiesel producers in the final determination reached 92.52% for Wilmar Trade Pte. Ltd., 276.65% to PT Musimas, and 92.52% to others. An assumption that Indonesia is a country with particular market situation is one of the basic determinations. The implementation of U.S. DOC decision will depend on the U.S. International Trade Commission USITC resolution as an American institution which conducts investigation of evidence toward the losses of the country's domestic industry caused by import with dumping prices. The final decision of the USITC will issue on April 6, 2018. If USITC declares there is no loss in the domestic industry, or the loss has no causal relationship with biodiesel import, the case will be terminated and anti-dumping import duty will not be charged. However, if USITC finds losses and has causal relationships between dumping and losses, the U.S. authorities will issue an order to impose anti-dumping duties on U.S. customs and border protection on Indonesia's biodiesel products beginning on April 13, 2018. Trade Minister Enggar Tias Tolu Kita said that currently the Indonesian government is fighting the interests of Indonesian exporters to the USITC through hearings. The policy can prove that there is no loss on the American biodiesel industry, while biodiesel import from Indonesia is not the cause for the loss. The WTO has carried Indonesian lawsuits on anti-dumping duty charged by the European Union toward Indonesian biodiesel export in February, and asked the European Union to change the policy of anti-dumping duty. According to the Indonesian Biodiesel Producer Association, Indonesia has suspended export to the United States since last year due to the charging of import duty. Listener, that was today's My Indonesia.
This is Aniasana with News in Brief. Indonesian Minister of Finance Sri Mulyani and Coordinating Minister of Marine Affairs Luhut Binsar Panjaitan inspected Mandalika Special Economic Zone in Central Lombok Regency, West Nusa Tenggara on Thursday. Finance Minister Sri Mulyani said that her visit aims to check the readiness of Lombok Island to welcome IMF World Bank annual meeting to be held in Bali, October 2018. Coordinating Minister of Marine Affairs Luhut Binsar Panjaitan said that the annual meeting of IMF World Bank in Bali in October 2018 will make the name of Indonesia more well-known in the international world. When reviewing Special Economic Zone Mandalika, Central Lombok, along with Finance Minister Sri Mulyani and by Indonesia Governor Agus Martowardoyo on Thursday, Minister Luhut said that the implementation of the IMF World Bank annual meeting will be attended by 18,000 to 20,000 delegates and participants who come to Bali. Minister of Finance Sri Mulyani Indrawati said that all flights scheduled to Bali are full during the International Monetary Fund IMF World Bank annual meeting on October 8 to 14. She explained that the information came from her colleagues in Washington, D.C., United States. She said at an international seminar as part event of Voyage to Indonesia ahead of IMF and World Bank meeting in Kuta Bali on Thursday that she will discuss the matter with Minister of Transportation Budi Karya Sumadi. The Ministry of Industry continues to encourage the optimization of international promotion in a bid to increase the exports of local industrial products. One of them is by providing the website. This was stated by the Director General of International Industrial Defense and Development of the Ministry of Industry, Igusti Putu Surya Wirawan. Bali earned foreign exchange amounting to $32.144 million from the export of silver-based handicrafts during 2017. Low and stable inflation is seen as an asset for Indonesia to resist the Federal Reserve's plan to increase its reference rate 4 times this year. And the last item, former Indonesian Agriculture Minister for the 2004-2009 period, Anton Apriantono, has announced the establishment of Indonesian Coffee Council Dekopi at Intermark Serpong, Tangerang, Banten on Thursday, March the 1st. And listener, that was News in Brief.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's sound. You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we invite you traveling to Trenggalek Regency. Stay tuned. Trenggalek is one of the regency in East Java province, bordered directly to the south by the Indian Ocean, makes the region has many beautiful beaches that became the main tourist destination of Trenggalek. Besides the enchantment of beaches, Trenggalek remains has many other interesting tourist objects. One of them is natural site of Banyungat, which was recently launched. Banyungat tourist destination is located at Duku Village, Watu Limo sub-district, Trenggalek Regency, East Java. Since the beginning, this tourist object has been visited by many tourists due to its cool, beautiful, and natural atmosphere. Moreover, various kinds of interesting tourist rides are available in Banyungat. The name Banyungat was taken from Javanese language, which means warm water. This 7-hectare tourist object offers several natural beauties such as waterfalls, rocky streams, kadung or warm water pools, as well as various play rides to spur your adrenaline. To enter the area, you are required to buy entrance ticket of 5,000 rupiah per person. You don't have to worry if you don't bring cash to buy tickets, because the location of this banyungan also provides electronic money or e-money tickets payment. Entering Banyungan tourism area, you will walk along the path while enjoying the fresh air and cool atmosphere. There is also a rocky river in the area. You can choose the path to cross the river, the bamboo bridge or suspension bridge called Jembatan Kangen. Passing the suspension bridge, you will find Kedung Banyungan. You can feel the freshness of the warm water in the pool. In addition to the pool of warm water, you can enjoy the beauty of Urang Kambu waterfall, which is 30 meters high. You can swim under the waterfall. But for those who cannot swim, do not worry. The manager provides life jackets for the safety of the visitors. In the location of Banyungan tourist object, there are monitoring tower on the trees, which can be used to relax while enjoying the natural atmosphere. Banyungan also has a racer that can spur your adrenaline through air bikes. You can enjoy the natural beauty through the air bike, which has been equipped with special safety standard equipment. For those who like camping, it also has an area to set up tents, completed with swings rides and hammocks at an altitude and mounted between shady trees. Banyungan tourism area included in Perhutani or the State Forest Company owned forest area, so that there can be found some plant species such as durian, salak and mangosteen. If you want to enjoy the fruits, you can come to the object during the harvest season, because it is very fun if you can enjoy the local fruits amid cool natural atmosphere. Banyungan area is also equipped with various facilities such as canteen, places of worship, bathroom, and gazebos. To get to the various spots of this tourist location, you need not worry, because every spot is handled by officers who always stand guard and clear signposts. Listener, that was the regular segment of Indonesian Wonder for the today, with the topic Banyungan's natural tourism object in Trenggalek, East Java. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello listeners of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Welcome to Miscellany. Today, Citizen will inform you about Batam Dance 2018. Batam is considered necessary to add attraction by presenting a variety of attractions. This aims to make tourists more interested and more comfortable to stay longer in Batam. Thus, BP Management Agency, as one of the stakeholders in Batam City, holds the event Batam Dance 2018. This event is one of the cultural art festivals that will become one of the new icons of Batam City. Listeners, Batam Dance 2018 is planned to take place on April 8, 2018. This will highlight collaboration of 16,000 people of Batam City who will mutually assemble the movement in one collaboration of amazing dance. Head of Batam BP Management Agency, Lukita Dinarsyah Tuo, said that Batam Dance 2018 is a symbol event in equating voice, equating vision, and moving together, mission to build Batam City. Lukita further said that thousands of dancers will consist of various elements in the Batam City. They are from BP Batam, City Government, Navy, Army, Police, Sundanese Society, Jogoboyo Society, Nationality Forum, and students, including the tourists. Listeners, why to choose dancing together? Lukita said that Batam is a Malay land whose various ethnics are in Batam. Meanwhile, dancing becomes a culture almost in all ethnic groups in Indonesia. So this collaboration will show the unity of the people of Batam to unite and enliven tourism. On the occasion, BP Batam Management Agency cooperates with Guru Sukarno Putra Production to provide training to the people of Batam who will participate in these activities. Listeners, Guru Sukarno Putra, the youngest son of the first president of Indonesia, Sukarno, as choreographer, explained that his site will design a dance called Rampai Batam. According to Guru, this Rampai Batam is Batam's typical dance, which consists of several ethnics. In the performance, it includes dance choreography from Minang, Batak, Malay and China. In the first stage, Guru will train 100 instructors from the city of Batam who will then train other participants. Batam Dance 2018 as colossal dance will make people not only feel happy but also break the Indonesian Museum record. with the largest number of dancers. Listeners, that was Miscellany for today. Sampai jumpa.
Again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listeners of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to the regular Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we'll present the songs of the people of Banten. So, stay with us at RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia.
Aje gelem dadi wong bodho, bakale ake dibebodho. Mangkane kudu rajin belajar, ndak uripe ora susah. Lamun uwis dadi wong pinter, aje elok meminteri. Tambah pinter kudune tambah bener, ndak dhuwur derajate. Yoragem belajar ndak kita dadi pinter, yoragem belajar ndak kita tambah bener, yoragem belajar ndak pinter tambah bener, dadi pinter tambah bener ora kebelinger. Yoragem belajar ndak kita dadi pinter, yoragem belajar ndak kita tambah bener, yoragem belajar ndak pinter tambah bener, dadi pinter tambah bener ora kebelinger. Lamun uwis dadi wong pinter, aja elok meminteri. Tambah pinter kudune tambah bener, ndak dhuwur derajate. Yoragem belajar ndak kita dadi pinter, yoragem belajar ndak kita tambah bener, yoragem belajar ndak pinter tambah bener, dadi pinter tambah bener ora kebelinger. Yoragem belajar ndak kita dadi pinter, yoragem belajar ndak kita tambah bener, yoragem belajar ndak pinter tambah bener, dadi pinter tambah bener ora kebelinger.
Listeners, you've just listened to the song from the Banten region entitled Juragem Belajar. Banten is a province resulted from the growing region from the West Java province. The majority of the population are Sundanese. So, no wonder if the local people mostly speak Sundanese and the song you just heard also sounds Sundanese. Yur Ragam Belajar song was sung by Syahri Aliman, and it contains a series of messages that teachers and students are always devoted to parents and always studious and diligent to pray. The song, consisting of 12 lines, is slow-paced with simple lyrics. Yur Ragam Belajar was usually sung by parents when their son was about to sleep and became an irrepressible night entertainment by the children of Banten in the past. Well, listeners, let's listen to the song entitled Ibu. Happy listening.
Sekabeh manusia kuduni runyening ibu sing lahiraken lan ngegedekaken ngemong kita ora lirena kerasa aga susahi. Sekabeh manusia kudune emaning ibu sing doakaken lanakeng ngajari dadadi uang orepe ora sengsara. Siki kita uwis pada ngerti masa ia nangkel ning ibu pengen kita masih durung ngerti akeng marani atine ibu. Sekabeh manusia kudune emaning ibu sing doakaken lanakeh ngajari dadadi uang orepe ora sengsara. Siki kita uwis pada ngerti masa ia nangkel ning ibu pengen kita masih durung ngerti akeh nglarani atine ibu. Masih duwe umur kita bisa nyenangaken atine ibu. Lamun dudukane pengorbanane kita ora dadi kaya siki. Kita ora dadi
see.
listeners, the song was sung at once, composed by Shahri Aliman. The song tells about the story of a mother's struggle in childbirth, raising and caring for her child. The lyrics of the song is simple, but it has a moral message of its own, where the child must be obedient to the mother for good. Well, listeners, to conclude our segment for today, let's listen to the last song entitled Tong Sarakah by Syahril Alimin. Tong Sarakah means do not be greedy. In accordance with the title, the lyric of this song reminds that human beings are not greedy in life and they must always remember the lies of the hereafter. Well, listeners, here is the song.
Karuksa kana awan.
Voice of Indonesia. VOR. Today's sound.
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Stay tuned on 9525 kHz. You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th Floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.